Welcome to the Pneuma Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
I imagine when Jesus was born, like, he was probably even noisier than what it is right now, since he was born in a stable. So, you know, you just think about all the animals that you could have found in a stable and what they were doing, and they were probably quite disturbed, just thinking, what in the heck is going on in our home? And it certainly wasn't this like gentle, nice music happening in the background. I'm sure it was a little bit stressful for a mum to be being in that environment. But that's our Lord, isn't he? He surprises us all the time. Can't decide which way I want my iPad to be, so I'm going to probably swap it halfway through. We'll see how we go. So we started a topic this month, Emmanuel, God with us. And, you know, it is the Christmas season, so of course we're going to talk about the birth of Jesus, our Lord and Saviour. And Pastor Levi started the series last week, and that was amazing. And this week, I'm just going to hone into one aspect of that. I'm going to talk about Jesus, the light of the world. And I feel like a lot of the message has already just been preached in the little testimonies that Pastor Ben gave us before about reflecting Jesus being the light of the world. But we're gonna go through it anyway, and hopefully I can add some value to what he did, and will certainly highlight that he's living out that life that God ordained for him, that's for sure. So our key scriptures for today are found in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 1 to 5. And then a few chapters over in John chapter 8, verse 12. So I'm just going to read them out for now, starting with John 1, 1 to 5. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life. And the life was the light, so hence the word light, the light of all mankind. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. So just focus on those words, life and light. And in John chapter 8, verse 12, it says, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So that's a consistent term that John uses in that. So when we look at light, we have the opposite always existing too, and that's darkness. And we have this contrast constantly, that's it's consistent throughout the whole Old Testament and New Testament, of light and darkness, light and darkness. From the very first words of Scripture in Genesis, that contrast was created in a physical sense. In chapter 1, verse 3, God said, let there be light, and there was light. And then he created the darkness, and there was light that he called day and darkness that he called night. And that is the physical manifestation of those things, but that was the first mention of light and contrasted with darkness. And we see that throughout it all. So darkness is actually universal, because we can't speak about light unless we speak about darkness. And everyone in this room knows what it's like to walk in a dark space. When you think about, you know, like when you wake up in the middle of the night and you're like, if you don't take the time to just focus a little bit, because we live in the city, if we focus a little bit, we can get, just a little bit of a shine to get through. But if there's something in the way that we're not used to, what do? You like trip over it. It becomes a barrier to what you're doing, and we can't find our way. And dark spaces make us hesitate. Dark spaces just makes us like freeze sometimes and like, I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. I can't see a way out. Because we just don't know what's before us when it's dark. Try living in the country. Have you ever been out camping in the country and you don't have like the city lights? Man, it's like impossible to go anywhere. You can't see a thing. But so when the power goes out at night, or when we're in a dark space, we don't panic because things have moved around us. We panic because we can't see. We panic because because of a perceived reality that's happening before us. But the reality hasn't changed. It's just hidden. And the Bible uses darkness in the same way. It talks about confusion and sin and fear and hopelessness, all words that we don't like when our life feels like that. And John makes a decision, unlike the other Gospels that talk about the birth of Jesus, John just gets straight stuck into it. And he talks about Jesus being the light that was there at the beginning. He was part of the creation process. Part of the creation process. And so some scholars kind of go, well, even if it was a physical manifestation of light, was that actually God inserting himself? Was it Jesus inserting that they are light into that? Something, that's another message. But it's very interesting to think about. But it's definitely the words used, that the original Hebrew used, talks about a physical manifestation of light and darkness. So what is light? That's an interesting thought. Like if you look up what is light in Google or ChatGPT these days, that's the new search engine, isn't it? And it just talks about, well, it guides our way, all of those things that we've already talked about. There's also a scientific explanation for it, about light reflecting on this, and I don't know. Anyone's a scientist, please put your hand up and go and speak to them. It's even when I read about that physics, I'm like, yeah, but what is it really? Give me a simple explanation. But what does the Bible say that light is? So I want to work through our key scriptures today and just talk about what these parts of the scripture mean. And then I'm going to talk about, well, what does that mean to us? Because whenever we're reading about things in the Bible, there's always an application to us and there's always an action involved and a decision that we need to make at that point in time. So it says in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word. So the light is eternal and divine. Before there was creation, there was Christ. Before there was darkness, there was light. Interesting that he created the light first. And Jesus is part of the Creator. So that Jesus, he is the Creator, because he was there at the beginning with God. There's no separation at that point in time. There's Father, there's like the whole Trinity existed when they created the earth. So, you know, if you think about a light bulb, it only works when it's connected to the power. Even like there's two reasons why a light won't switch on. One, it's not actually connected to the plug, the power source, or two, the globe is actually broken, which means it can't make a connection to the power source. So really, it's only one reason it's not making a connection to the power source. And that's the same with us. We can't have light if we don't connect to the power source. And that power source is Jesus. So it matters, because Jesus, it matters for us to understand that God, that Jesus was there in the beginning when the world was created, because we need to understand that Jesus is eternal. We need to be able to trust that that truth doesn't expire. And we need to know that Jesus is God and that his light can be trusted. Because he just wasn't God going, oh my goodness, the world's going to pieces. Like, what do I do? Oh, Jesus. Like, that wasn't it. Jesus was always the plan. Jesus was always the plan from the very beginning. So Jesus' light never fails. It's a guarantee. What else is light? Well, if you move on in the scriptures, it says, in him was life, and the life was the light of mankind. So the light gives life. And like in scriptures, when you read all the scriptures like about life and light and so forth, like they're inseparable. They what's the saying? They go together like love and marriage, like a horse and carriage. There's a song about that in a TV show, wasn't there? And like pizza and Coke. There's many other things that you just can't have one without the other, right? And some people might argue with that, but it's true. And light and life go together. So what happens when you just have one and not the other. So there's many people in our world. When you think about our world and you imagine people who don't know Jesus, not that hard to do in our world today. And it might even seem like some of them are thriving and they're really good people. And yet, what happens when the crisis hits? They've got life, but they don't have the light. And you know, think, well, let's go back to the most recent huge crisis a lot of us all have in common when COVID hit, when we had a global pandemic and the whole world shut down. What do you do when you don't have the light? How do you cope? How do you cope when you don't let light infiltrate your every part of your being and get through that? And so life existing without light has an expiry date. That at some point, it's not going to be a happy life. At some point, it's not going to function to its full potential. So to be truly alive, to be truly live that life, you can't do it without that light, and that light is Christ. So Jesus brings life and light. And we need life, but we also need the light to everything that we are created to be. When you think about a plant, like a plant can be healthy for a certain period of time. If you come to my house, my plants are always in different states. Like, I forget to water, I forget to put it close to the sunshine. And like, so if you buy me plants, I love it, I really do. But please don't be upset if it disappears. because, you know, without the sunshine, without the light, even an indoor plant can't really survive. It only looks nice for a little bit of time. So it's like living half a life, really, living half of who you really were created to be. So Jesus gives spiritual life. He gives purpose. He gives direction. He gives hope that's beyond the darkness. What else is light? Well, light shines in the darkness. In John 1:5, it says, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Darkness is real, but it's not equal to light. And that's a good thing for us to remember, both physically and spiritually. You don't walk into a room and say, oh, let's remove the darkness. How do you remove the darkness? Well, you turn on light. And the darkness just disappears. It doesn't have any choice. You can't sit there going, oh, I'm sorry, you have to get out of the room. You just turn on a light. And it's gone. Even if that light is a flicker of a small candle, the darkness is gone. And so that's why it's not equal to light, because light will always supersede the darkness. Have you ever been in a... Have you ever been like on a sleepover or sharing a room with someone, you know, you're traveling like on a mission trip and you're sharing a room and so forth, and you know, it's dark and you're just falling asleep and someone like switches their phone on? Like, and it annoys you, right? But it's like, oh, suddenly everything's really bright. It's the same, like the light has overcome the darkness. And even though we, like most of us have had that experience of going, oh, I wish they'd turn it off and not look at their phone, but that's an example of how light is greater than darkness. One small candle can change an entire room. One spark, one bit of Jesus can change an entire room. One bit of Jesus can change an entire atmosphere. One bit of Jesus can transform Kenya, as we were meaning. One bit of Jesus can transform the world around us. Because darkness has to disappear in light. And when Jesus stepped into darkness, you know, when Jesus was born, you know, a lot of us talk and we sing about Jesus meek and mild and this little baby Jesus, and that's really lovely. But actually, it was so powerful because as soon as Jesus was born, light stepped into darkness in order to transform the world. And so, you know, we often think, oh, like people say to me who don't go to church often, they go, oh, isn't Easter like a big thing because that's like when Jesus died? And I'm like, well, you've got to be born to die. But I just think that his birth is like the most powerful thing that we can see. Like, yes, his death is important, but that's not the full story. And at this time, we ought to remember that that light is powerful. But darkness is never won and never will live, because as soon as there is light, darkness disappears. Sin tried to stop the light, death tried to bury the light, and the grave tried to hold the light, but it didn't succeed. And when we've accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior, he lives in us. So therefore, we have the light of the world in us. Just think about that. And darkness has to disappear when there's light. So what else these scriptures have to say about light? Well, Jesus is the light of the world. It says in John 8:12, I am the light of the world. That's a pretty bold statement. We know that now, and we can see all the things. But at that point in time, even though before John the Baptist was born, there was a period of about 400 to 430 years, roughly, where the world didn't hear from God in the way that they were used to hearing from God. And they were waiting, because you think about all of the Old Testament all the way up to the book of Malachi. And that time, the way that God spoke to his people was through the prophets. And that's why we have so many books of major and minor prophets and so forth, because that's how God spoke to his people. And then suddenly, he was quiet. He wasn't sending a prophet. He wasn't doing all of that. But what he was doing, which we couldn't see, was preparing the way for Jesus to be born. In that time, like, that's many generations that didn't have firsthand hearing from God. Like, that's quite incredible when you think about it. But in that time, the Sadducees, the Pharisees, and all those sects came to form, and all of these things. And then John the Baptist was born, and John the Baptist was born to be a preceder, like a reflector of the light that was coming. And people didn't recognize that. So Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Can you imagine some people just going, oh my goodness, who does this guy think he is? And yet he was so confident because he knew who he was. He'd been that for all of time, well before this time that we live in exists. So it's not a symbolism. It was a declaration of who he is. He didn't say, let me show you the light. He didn't say, I'll teach you about the light. He said, I am the light. Yeah. And there's a huge difference in that. He doesn't, like, you know, if Jesus just gave us a map and said, here, I've marked out the path, just follow it, go on an orientation course. Have you guys ever had to do that? Do you do that, like, at Christmas time when you work as, like, team building exercises? They're not fun. That can be a little bit, but you just end up being exhausted with sore feet. But anyway, I digress. So he came and he said, not only am I giving you the map, I am walking on that map with you because I am the light. I'm going to highlight every single step you take. So if I was going to hear and go over to Levi and Barnes, like, Jesus is just walking along beside me. He's like highlighting every single step I'm going to take. He's making sure I know the obstacles. He's making sure that I know how to navigate through something, over something, or around something. He doesn't leave us. And so that's the difference between showing the light, teaching the light, and being the light. So following him means that we have clarity instead of confusion, because the path is lit. It means we have forgiveness instead of guilt. It means we have life instead of death. Because remember, we talked about there's light and there's darkness. Light represents life. Darkness represents death. And if you're like me, and sometimes, like, you get a bit confused about things going on in life, I'm sure we all do because we're just human, and there's a constant tension between us and what God's providing for us. Well, it's not me. It's not God that's not providing that clarity. It's not God that's not there with me. It's how much I am allowing that light in every crevice of my soul, in every crevice of my heart. And when there's confusion, it's because I'm not allowing that light to come and enter into the darkness. Because the darkness has got to disappear, right? It doesn't have any choice. So if it's there, it's me, not God. When I was going through this yesterday, I was like, man, I've got to stop trying to figure my way out of things. If I just think enough, if I just read enough, I can get out of it. That's not true. The answer is just Jesus. So then the scripture goes on to say, whoever follows me will never, 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 is means in any language, not at all, never, never again, walk in darkness. So light is also that we get to walk in it.
Yeah, good.
You know, you can stand in a doorway with the light behind you and still choose to stay in the dark. Proximity is not the same as participation. So you just like, if you consider like, you come to church. Coming to church doesn't mean that you're participating. It could just mean that you're in proximity of the light. You can participate in every activity and serve and do all of that. It still doesn't mean that you're participating. It can just mean that you're in proximity. And that kind of thinking, that kind of decision making doesn't transform our lives. It lets us look at everybody else and be envious and jealous of what God's doing in their life, but doesn't transform our hearts because we're not allowing that light to live in us. So it requires a decision. It requires us to have honesty before God. That's hard sometimes, and I don't know why it's so hard, because he knows everything anyway. He knows more about what our thoughts are than what we do. But somehow we try to put barriers and walls up. And all those walls do is just keep the light out. All those walls do is keep the darkness in. And it can't disappear without the light. It requires obedience to the truth. And it requires trust in Jesus. Because light reveals not to shame us, but to heal us. Light brings protection. Light brings hope. And earlier we talked about what the Bible has to say about darkness, and it talked about it being confusion and sin and fear and hopelessness. Well, light does the exact opposite to that. It brings all of the good stuff and makes that disappear, because that's in the darkness. So what does this mean for us? Well, we've kind of tiptoed around that and talked about a little bit of that application to us and our life as followers of Jesus. But what does it really mean for us? Well, in Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 to 16, it says that you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Let your light shine before men. I skipped a bit. Let me go back. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. You know, a lot of the time when I was like preparing this message, I just had all these little songs pop up in my head. It was like retro worship. Do you guys, if you went to Sunday school, I didn't attend Sunday school when I was younger, but I helped out a little bit when I was first saved. And do you remember that song, This Little Light of Mine? This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. And I was just going over and over and over and over in my head. And I'm like, stop it, stop it, stop it. But it's, do you know what? It's not a bad thing. It's not a bad record. It's not a bad thing to be repeating over and over again in your life, because you are the light of the world. And you are the light of the world because Jesus is the light of the world and he lives in us. Jesus is the ultimate light of the world, but we are called to be reflectors of that light. And when Pastor Ben was up here sharing testimonies and what was going on in Kenya before, that's exactly what they're doing. They're being reflectors of his light. They're allowing the light of Jesus to penetrate every single bit of their hearts so that they are free for that light to shine to the people that they minister to. So they're free to make decisions and obey God and trust God in moving over to the other side of the world, to a place that is so different to where we live. It's been a while. I've been to Kenya. I know what Nairobi looks like. There's lots of slums and it's smelly at times and all that. But those people need to know Jesus. And if we are reflectors of God's love, then we say, God, I'm going to do this. We're able to obey. We're able to share that love with people, and people will see it in us, because it won't be us. It will remove the darkness, and the light is what will shine. You know what happens with reflection? This is my little very, very simple understanding. When, say, the sun is shining, or even artificial light in here, the reason why we can see everything is because that light shines on an angle onto something. It's a very simple explanation, so I apologize for those who are scientific. And then that, and then it reflects on the object and then into our eyes, and that enables us to see the object. And so when you think about, if we have the light in us and we're reflectors of Jesus, they're the object of God's love, and they're able to see that reflection because it's reflecting and bouncing back into their eyes. And so the more that we allow Jesus into our hearts, the more that people will be able to see Jesus, the more that our world will be transformed, which is the whole reason why he was born. Light stepped into darkness in order to transform the world when Jesus was born. Again, I told you the songs were going around in my head. It's like karaoke. We sing that song, "Here I Am to Worship." Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see. And that's what others need to see. And then there's, hey, who's old, who knows all the old school Planet Shakers songs? Wanna be a reflector, wanna shine with your glory. Not, again, good songs to have in our head. But it's saying, Jesus lives in me and I'm gonna reflect the light of God. So if we are not allowing the light of God to penetrate our hearts, and the darkness is remaining, if we're not participating, if we're sitting in proximity to what's going on, then others are not going to see that light, and we're not going to have any success in the world changing. Because remember, darkness just disappears when light appears. So the more light there is in us, the more that we don't stop light from penetrating right through our whole being, the more that light is going to reflect in our world, and people are going to be able to say yes to Jesus. They're going to want it. They're going to chase it, because who wouldn't want to chase that light that brings hope, that brings life to everything that you are and do? Because that light illuminates a pathway for people. That light illuminates a pathway for them to know him. And then you never know, like Ben's testimony of a friend at the gym asked him to come, and he said yes. And look at the life he's living now. Because that light has penetrated his whole being. And there must have been something in that person that asked him that made Ben, it was timing of God, it was all of that kind of stuff. But that person had the light in his life as well. Because if he wasn't living a certain life, there's no way that you'd say yes to someone. Like, why would I want to come to church if that's the way you're living, if there's darkness in there? So I say again, it's how much we let the light in so the darkness can disappear. And it's all about what we allow, because God's got it all available to us completely, anytime, day or night. So light transforms, and Jesus stepped into the darkness to transform the world. Not just us, but the world. So will you participate and step into the light? Because Jesus is still saying, I am the light of the world. Hasn't changed since before time. If you are lost, he is light. If you are tired, he is life. If you are afraid, he has overcome the darkness. God is everything. And even if you made a decision like 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 50 years ago, to allow Jesus into your heart, it's good to reflect every day and say, God, keep coming in. I want more of you. I want more of you. Because the tension comes in us living our life. And God coming in and saying, this is the new standard. This is for you. This is the light. And that means that we have to stop pushing that light back. Stop standing in that doorway. We have to actually walk keep walking towards the light. So that darkness just has no choice but to disappear. And the tension just comes when we try not to walk in the light. Let our heart's cry be that I want to be a reflector. I want God's love to shine in me so others can know. Because it's never meant to stop with us. It's never meant to stop with us. Light is no good if it's not used to help others.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Now, we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that He, Jesus, demonstrated His love for us, that while we were still sinners, He died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that He gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in Him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with Him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in Him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that He is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that You are the Son of God. I thank You that You love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow You. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that You fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after You. I thank You that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.